Katrina, I'm just wondering, can the pulse still influence our meditation, and so what can we do to prevent that from happening?
Ja, it is logical. Affect everything in our life and also our meditation. When we meditate, of course, our ego actually fights back very, very hard. As we explained many times, we are used to many habits, bad habits, many problems in our life, many way of doing things, many affections and desires and wants that we have in our life, and they used to run our life. So we followed our desires, we followed our wants and affections that come to us, and without thinking we accepted the command. Okay, they told us, you have to do this, and you did it. Okay. You didn't say, okay, let me see, is it okay with God's word? What am I doing? Am I destroying my body? Am I, you know, opposing the creation of the commands of life? Is this a good thing to do? Is it according to the 15 commandments or the 10 commandments? Is it really, you know, necessary, good, and wholesome? So we are a slave of all these forces in us, okay? And they have been running our lives. Now we sit down and we start meditating and using our mantra. The ego says, what are you doing? Why are you sitting here? You're supposed to be with your friends. You're supposed to be playing, you know, this game, or, you know, going in that area, or being here and there. No? So your mind starts telling you, do a different thing that he wants or she wants you to do. Okay? So you see, the first step is really sitting there and wanting to meditate. Okay? It's not going to let you do it. Okay? That's why in the meditation, we say gently, your mind is going to go. Okay? It's going to ask you, what did I eat last night? Oh, I ate da 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 da. What did that person say? And your mind starts wandering away from your mantra and meditation. And then you remember, oh, I forgot to say, you know, Mariam Sharanam Om Namah Kevalam, and think about its meaning. So gently bring your mind back to your mantra and its meaning. Very gently, you don't have to force it. Very gently bring where your mind is going, bring it back. Your mind is going to get angry, okay, because it's not used to this. Okay, it always follow your mind wherever it wants to go. Now you are saying, no, I am in charge. You are not in charge anymore. And he doesn't like it. Ego does not like that. Okay? Because he has been in control all your life. And now you are saying, no, I'm not going to let you be in control anymore. I want to get control of my life and my mind. Okay? Now, you bring your, you know, mind to your mantra, start saying Hari Om Shri Ham Om Nam Kevalam, breathing in, realizing the, you know, the silence, breathing out Om Nam Kevalam, and realizing the silence and breathing Hari Om Shri Ham a couple of times, you're doing it well, it feels good. Yeah, I can feel almost that silence between the two breathing, and your mind says, by the way, do you remember that? And you're gone, your mind is gone, and your mantra is gone, your breathing is gone, your meditation is gone. You know, for probably 5-6 minutes you think about everything, and suddenly you realize, oh, I forgot my mantra. Gently breathe. See, that's a battle right there between you and your mind. Okay? Your mind is powerful. Your mind wants to take you away from meditation. He wants to still keep the control. Okay? But you are telling him no. Every time you bring your mind back from where it went to your meditation and your mantra and your breathing and your, you know, meditation, you are telling your mind, you are getting a little more control from your mind. Okay? And the more you do it, the more control you will have on the mind. After a while, when you did meditation for some time, minds give up. Ego gives up. So what will become? Your mind become calm, just like a calm lake. Okay? That is when you see the reflection of God in that calm lake. Can you see the reflection of God in a turbulent mind or a lake? It breaks up to thousands of pieces. It doesn't look like a moon at all. It just looks like a, you know, what is that? There's some light there, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know a light exists in this mind, as the scripture says. Okay, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness know it not. Okay, why? Because the darkness is turbulent. Mind, ego is turbulent. And in that turbulent, you know, state, the light breaks up to so many pieces, even it can completely break to nothingness. You can't even realize there is a light left there. Okay? So the process of meditation is to get control over your mind and your ego, and eventually when ego gives up, you will realize you are connected to, you know, the spirit, and the reflection of God will reflect on that mind. And you become closer and closer to Him. Of course, there are a lot of experience you might experience. You might hear a cricket sound. You might hear a shouting of the door. You might hear, you know, flute even. You know, and the flute of, they call it flute of Krishna. It's the most beautiful flute you have ever heard. Okay, but don't be attached to it. Go on with it. Those still are delusion, an illusion in your, you know, and you say, oh, I heard the, you know, flute of the Krishna, so I have arrived in the my meditation. No, you have not. That is, or some people start doing astral projection, and they go to the astral body, and they go, and they meet these such a wonderful gurus and masters, and they give them beautiful, you know, ceremony, and they are not the ultimate. They are still trapped in the ethereal level. Actually, in a material level, you can create your own universe and become trapped in it. Okay, when a lot of people do astral projection and all those things, that is very dangerous, and they actually become more egoistic. Okay, actually, we had a lady came to our, you know, our house once when we were just at the mission in the beginning of 1982, and somebody said, how do you obtain something? And she said, desire it. It's just like it was such a force there, and there was so much ego there that it just felt not very good at all. Okay? A true meditative person who come in contact with God, become gentle, become, you know, compassionate, you know. They don't desire things, okay? They actually become desireless. Okay? They actually, the more desire you have, what is the very base of the problem with the ego? Ego gets attracted. Desire fulfills it, become attached. That is the process, isn't it? This is ego, okay? Ego is it. Our senses touches things, our senses see things, taste things, okay? Hears things. What do we become? Then we desire them. Okay? We run after them. First of all, we run after them so we waste our time by running after them. Then we obtain them. What happens when you obtain them? You fulfill your desire. When you fulfill the desire, what happens? You become attached to that fulfilled desire. And when you're attached to it, you become what? Greedy. Greed comes in. So this is a five step against eternal divine path step. Eternal divine path is five step. Okay, the step of the ego is five step too. Attraction. Okay, attraction, desire, fulfillment, attachment, greed. And five step goes for everything we see, we desire, we obtain. We fulfill, we become attached, and then we want more, become greedy. Okay? So this is the anti-eternal divine path. Ego is anti-eternal divine path. Eternal divine has five steps, awakening of the spiritual process, creation of communities of life, sacrifice, So then somebody said to them, become universalist. The five step of the ego is attraction, desire, fulfillment, attachment, and greed. So as we meditate, we have less desires, we don't want, because many times I said, what do you do if you have a desire? Sit and meditate on it. Okay? I desire to have such a wonderful car. I want a Lamborghini. I want a hammer. Okay? Now what? First of all, I have to work hard to get, what, $60,000 to buy one? Then I have to take care of it. It might get an accident. It needs a lot of attention. I can drive it everywhere. That's not a car you can drive in the street. It's useless. And then, have you progressed any in your life? Go through it. Any desire. Okay. In your meditation. Okay. See, what's going to happen? Most of our desires are not well thought of. The desires. Okay. We want them. But we don't know what it's going to lead us. So, sit down and meditate on that desire. Say, okay, I have this desire. Let meditate. Where is it going to take me? I want all these things. But what are you going to do? It's going to... Anything you obtain, you will lose something. This is the law of the universe. Anything you obtain, you will lose something for it. The more you earn material thing, the more spiritual thing you lose. The more spiritual you become, you might not have as much material thing. Okay. So that is why, again, the mission, come to the rescue. Share. We're not saying don't have material things, don't enjoy life, don't live in a good, you know, place that you can be comfortable. But if people share with each other, each of you don't need to struggle that hard to have that amenity. And also, of course, sharing, it brings grace out of it. Okay? But if you have only one wonderful house by yourself, actually, you lose a lot of people, a lot of connection. People don't want to have anything to do, they call you a snobby. So, the very reason you bought the house to attract people to come and love you, making people not love you, that people don't like, you know, because they desire to have the same music. But if you share that with them, what happens? Do they like you? No. They might even help you to maintain it, to be with you, to enjoy it together. So, ego is actually, that is the preventer of you to meditate. It's a preventer for you to realize yourself. Because it's going to fight you. Of course, I believe most of us here, that we have been meditating for many lifetimes. Okay, that's what we are attracted. To go back and meditate and all that. But if you have never meditated before, the ego is not going to let you. Okay? That is the great fight you have within yourself. Because those, I call them creatures, you know, beginners, they have been in control all their lives. Now we suddenly tell them, no, you're going to be in control. Do you think they're going to say, yes, sir, here it is. This is the rain, you can have it. They're not going to let you have it. They're going to fight you back. They're going to say, no, we still want to keep the rain. We were fine. And they can live only in darkness. That's the only weakness they have. If you meditate and shade the light on them, and keep the light on them, and suddenly they die. Just like rain. Have you seen that? That commercial, when the red comes, those little boys can't live anymore. They just explode and die. Okay? That's the same thing. Meditation is the rain for your creatures. Keep the creatures in this life. And meditation makes you... Meditation actually is a sleep which you are aware of. Okay? That's why we sleep. When we sleep, you really get connected to the universal computer, okay, or universal mind. And then your mind starts going through your day and clears itself up. Okay? If you don't sleep, mind cannot keep up.
Okay.
We actually die of deprivation, sleep deprivation. The more you meditate, the less sleep you need. Because you are doing the job of the sleep you are supposed to, but while you are meditating, you are also aware of what's happening.
Okay.
So meditation is a process of sleep with awareness of what's happening.
Okay.
But because you are not aware of what's happening when you are sleeping, you don't become self-realized. You don't realize what is within you and what those creatures are doing. That is why sometimes God sends you a dream,
okay,
to make you aware of something. And then of course we talked about the dreams, the three kinds of the dreams. Some of them are for overeating and all those problems. That has no meaning. Okay, our mind goes crazy. Some of them are related to our psychological problem and our regular life, which if you do self-analysis after the dream, you might find some, you can problem some of your habits and daily life and all of that. And some of them are deep inner revelation, which come from much deeper level, which you cannot forget for many days after you receive it, even for lifetime. They're absolutely powerful. Okay. So those things usually are given to prophets, just like Daniel receives, you know, a dream or a vision. Okay. Cannot change it. You have to sit down and write down what happened, what that vision was. It's not just as in the regular dream that he can forget, you know, the next day, afternoon and evening. He just couldn't check it. He had to come down and write it down. So it is. So we are very complex beings, okay? Very amazing beings, if we are in the image of God. Actually, our body and the universe has the same elements. Anything you find in the universe, you find in human body. And our consciousness is only consciousness can reach true consciousness, can reach the highest possible. It's not even to animals. A cat cannot reach to consciousness. A cat has to come, you know, many lifetimes, once you become human. So this is the opportunity that is given to us. And many people, you know, don't realize the goal of life is to become divine, to know themselves, to meditate, to have a human spiritual process. So we have to tell them, again, that's our responsibility. We have to educate them, we have to create, you know, a school that it's taught to the child from the beginning. The goal of your life is to become divine. You don't have to compete with anyone but yourself. Okay? Know thyself. You don't have to compete with other students. If they're a good student, manifest. If they're not a good student, maybe have other abilities. They have other ways God created you for to manifest through. Not everybody has to become a doctor, or go to the college, or go become, you know, professor, or this and that. You become, as I say, you might become the best sweeper of the floor in the universe. you sweep the floor so beautifully that everybody says, wow, that's beautiful. Of course, you know, we're talking about the Paravipras. Paravipras have all those abilities, the ability of, you know, sweeping the floor that is needed. If it's a war and it's just and brings, you know, goodness to him, to, you know, spirituality and man, like Arjuna and Lord Krishna, so be it. They go to war, or they're courageous. If they are, you know, is an intellectual discussion or scientific, you know, matter to, you know, study, they're curious. They want to know what is happening. That's why I love internet. You know, there's so much there you can learn. Okay, it's very satisfying if you have a curious mind. You can go in there and find any information you want. You know, you don't have to depend on any. You know, even the doctor tells you take this medicine, you can go to the internet and say, okay, what kind of side effect this medicine might have on me? Okay, what do they say about it? Anything you want to know, you can just, it's a wonderful thing. Intellectually also you have to be curious. Okay. If it's a business, okay, how the labor and capital and material comes together and create the business environment. So Parabipras is a person who is at the top of all these and other things that they can deal with. So we can see that ego is the problem. Ego is the only thing that God hates is ego. He doesn't hate anything else. Okay. That's the only thing God hates. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't have nothing. He hates your ego. He loves you, but he doesn't like your ego. And you can't get rid of him. Get rid of the ego. Then God loves you even more. Okay. As you become both love. Okay. And you just look at each other and just love one another. Okay. Because there is no ego left. Okay. Then you can help a lot of people. A lot of people would love you because you have no ego. You are here to do God's will. You become one point. That's the only thing really left in your life, to do God's will. Okay? You have no other problem. Okay. That is which people are in the mission, they should have individual problem. There is none. You need a little food, a little place to sleep. The rest is God's word. And that's it. If you reach there, then you're free. You're free. You share with people, and hopefully they become more and more godly, and they become happier. And the more you are happier, the more you can make other people happy, and other people happy, they make other people happy, and eventually we're going to have a happy earth. That everybody is having physiological and safety needs and taken care of. The rest is to become divine. That's why we're here. Yes, you have a problem of physiological and safety. You have to take care of them. After that, that's the goal of the life, is to become divine. Mm-hmm. And that divinity, of course, is everything. Okay. There's nothing that God is not there in it. If you look at anything, God exists in that thing. Is it animate or inanimate? No matter. God is everything. Actually, the whole universe is created from God Himself. He doesn't have any material. He can't go to the hardware store and buy some material. He has to use his own body to create the universe. So, we are a part of Him. He's a part of us. We have no choice. He is closer to us than we ever could be. He actually knows us better than we know ourselves. So, yes, ego is the only problem, and it is going to fight you in your meditation. But if you lost the trend of thought, gently bring it back to your mantra and your breathing and the process, and stay with it. The more you can do it, the more control you have on your mind. Does that make sense?
Yes, Nitya, thank you.